In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was a kid, we used to spend every 4th of July, whether it was a weekend or the middle of the week, down in New Jersey at my grandparents' house in the town where my parents both lived as teenagers, where they met. The town is built around a big lake with little beaches and docks all around the outside of it, and one of them was just a walk from my grandparents' house, right out the back of their backyard and across the street. And on the 4th of July, after we'd had our big hot dog cookout and eaten our American flag cake, my cousins and my grandparents and my family and I would all load into Grandpa's boat and head out onto the water to enjoy what I would like to think is Northern New Jersey's finest fireworks display. And then the next day, sometimes, we'd do something very special that I remember very well. We'd take Grandpa's fishing rods out of the garage and go back down to the dock. And we'd take the leftover hot dogs and cut them up into little bait-sized chunks, and we'd cast our lines into the lake, trying to see what little fish we could catch and release. This is, without a doubt, the most American thing I have ever done. Fishing off the dock with Grandpa on the 5th of July with leftover hot dogs for bait. And this is what a lot of people love about fishing. Standing by the water, maybe with a friend or a family member, hanging out, passing the time in leisure and reflection in the great outdoors while you wait for something to bite or not. Immersed in that ancient dance between fish and man, as the fish wonders whether this time the hot dog might really be a worm, fish not being the smartest creatures. This is not what fishing was like for Peter and Andrew and James and John, the soon-to-be famous fishers of men. Commercial fishing, now or then, is a very different beast. It's they cast their nets in Galilee, not they cast their lines. And when Jesus calls James and John, they aren't comparing lures or cutting up bait, they're mending their nets. In this kind of fishing, all the romance of the great outdoors is gone. They sail out into the Sea of Galilee and they throw their nets down into the lake, and then they drag them back up with whatever's in there and haul them on board. It's hard and sweaty work. It's smelly work. You're not just hoping to catch a couple of fish to bring home for your supper. You're surrounded by fish, if you're lucky, all day long, baking in the sun. And it's to this kind of work that Jesus calls the apostles when he tells them that soon they will be, as the famous English pun goes, fishers of men. To be clear, I don't think Jesus' call of the apostles is so much about the sweat and the smell of things. While anyone could tell you that church leadership, lay or ordained, can get a little messy, you would hope that nothing too fishy is going on, especially not this close to annual meeting. No, I think what's more interesting is this distinction between the line and the net, between these two very different relationships between fish and human beings. In our spiritual lives, in our lives with God, are we like the fish that Grandpa and I used to catch, engaged in a back and forth with God, intrigued by the shimmering lure or the nice fat hunk of hot dog, but afraid to come too close? Or are we like the fish that James and Peter and Andrew and John caught, trapped in a net with a few dozen others, getting dragged out of the sea against our will, with no say in the matter at all? This gospel reading is strange. It starts on one theme and seems to change to another one entirely. In the first section, there's that motif of darkness and light that you might recognize from Christmas and that is repeated in that first reading from Isaiah. In the second half, we shift from light and darkness to fish and nets. And it's such a change that some biblical scholars actually identify the middle of this passage as one of the big transitions in Matthew's gospel. Before it, we have Jesus' birth and childhood, and the beginning of his ministry. After this call, he begins his ministry as an adult. But these two very different halves, one cosmological about light and dark, one very earthy about fish and sweat, have more in common than you might think. They are, in fact, united by this theme of sudden, profound change. Jesus travels from the inland town of Nazareth, where he was raised, back in the Jewish heartland in Galilee, down to the seaside town of Capernaum, on the borderlands between the Jewish world and the Gentiles just across the lake. He comes to these two pairs of brothers who've spent their lives preparing to take on the trade of their fathers, and their fathers before them, most likely, preparing to pass their days hauling nets in the sun, and he calls them to a very different life, and immediately they left their nets, they left their father, and followed him. These young fishermen would become the bishops and martyrs and visionaries of the early church, and their lives would never be the same, as the hymn would have it, young John who trimmed the flapping sail, homeless in Patmos died, after writing the book of Revelation. Peter, who hauled the teeming net, head down, was crucified. Jesus comes to these disciples to be and drags them out of their ordinary lives, and it's as though they are the fish whom they've been accustomed to catch, suddenly transferred from the murky depths of the quotidian life of fisher folk into the brilliant presence of God walking among them. There's always been a certain tension between these abrupt and dramatic conversion stories and the ordinary realities of life in a parish church. Not many of us have had such radical moments of transformation in our lives, and many of us never will. In fact, there's a kind of irony here. The more faithful a member of any given church community you are, the less likely your relationship with God is to seem like a radical change. If you've been a pillar of the church for decades, as some of you have, you're probably not exactly the leaving your nets and walking away at the drop of a hat kind of person. And even if you've only been in a place for a few years, the abruptness of these transitions, out of darkness into light, from fishing for fish to fishing for human beings, from ordinary life into radical discipleship and maybe even death, probably seems strange, even irresponsible. I don't think there's a single person in this room who can or should drop everything and go off somewhere to follow Jesus without leaving a trail of ruined relationships behind. You're left wondering how Zebedee felt after his two sons left him with the nets and the boat. But I wonder whether that's really just a matter of your perspective on time. Because these sudden changes aren't really so sudden at all. When you are sitting in darkness, as Isaiah says, and day breaks, is it really such a sudden thing? Maybe not. There's a long, slow change before that light begins. When you are a fish and you are dragged out of the sea, it isn't by teleportation. It's by the long, slow hauling on a rope from above. And with God, as Peter himself would later write, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day, and we are all being transformed in God's own time, however gradual it may seem. We are all being brought out of darkness into light. We are all being slowly reeled in toward God. The metaphor in which we are fish and God is the fisher is not perfect, and that is very good news. In fact, in some way, it's reversed. God has no plans to salt or cook you that I know of, and quite the contrary. It's as if life were actually better up there on the boat. It's as if we are not fish, we are scuba divers, and we've been down here all this time, holding our breath, or maybe breathing from a tank. We're slowly but surely being drawn up out of our depths toward God, and we can spend our whole lives treading water, pretending it's not happening, or we can turn and start to swim toward that light. So I wonder, what is it that God is dragging you out of this year? Or what is it that God is dragging out of you? What are the murky depths you're swimming in from which you desperately need to be removed? Or what are the dark corners of your own soul or your own life that need the benefit of a little light from above? Whatever they are, God is with you. Jesus has left his hometown and come down to the sea to be closer to you. He's come to you and called you by name and asked you to follow him. He's cast his net into the waters of your life, and he's drawing you toward himself, however slow and steady that progress may be. And you may find, when you are hauled up on that boat, whenever that is, that finally you can breathe. For the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, On them light has shined. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.